Do we all have a great Thanksgiving?
Yeah. I'll just have to push over like this.
Yeah, but you didn't. Not exactly. You know, I was thinking about worship this morning and thinking about the season which we're in. Thinking about my own life and thinking how the Lord wants us to be overcomers. And I think the biggest struggle our society has as a world, but also I see in the body of Christ, is this issue of worry, anxiety, fear. And as I was thinking about this song, the first one, about giving thanks, you know, I had a big cut in my finger. And we can focus on the cut of the finger, but I'm thankful that I got a finger. I look at all the dirty clothes that I have in my hamper, and I'm as glorious. I'm thankful that I got clothes.
Amen.
When I think about that huge tree that could have went through my house, I'm thankful.
Think about it, Chief.
I got a house. I look at the dirty dishes that I didn't do this morning. But I'm thankful that I have food to put on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we can look at all the dirty stuff and the evil stuff in this world, and it's going to be here. But God wants us to rejoice. And I want to open up and rejoice in the Lord always. And he says, again, I say rejoice. And Paul's in prison. This is in Philippians chapter 4. And he says, let your gentleness be known to all men, because the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but with everything in prayer and supplication. And here it is. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So are we grateful? Let's express our gratefulness and thankfulness. Why don't we all stand up? Lord, we do thank you for all that you've given us. Lord, we thank you most of all, Lord, for Jesus. Father, we want to say we love you this morning by our praise.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ.
Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. Worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God.
Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down.
And the sheep.
sheep of his hand, for we're in his hand. And because we're in his hand, and Jesus holds on to us and the Father, nothing in this world can separate us, snatch us out of his hand. The security that we have in Jesus, in the Father, and in the Holy Spirit keeping us, holding us until that day you call us home. And while we are here, Father, tribulation is going to come. And as we lead into this next song of praise and worship, I'm reminded of Psalm 18. When David had declared that no longer his enemies and Saul was able to afflict him. And this is what Psalm 18, 1 through 3 says. And he said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, guys, let's go out to women.
Down, who accuses them before our God day and night.
and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even unto death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring who kept the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus.
Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love, destined to die, poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, suffered as if he did. All of
Jesus,
awesome in power forever. Awesome and great is your name. You overcame.
Again.
Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise. You overcame. Jesus, awesome in power forever. Awesome and great is your name.
These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. Take courage. I have overcome the world.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, no matter what we face, times are evil. The Lord is at hand. But Father, you want our focus to be on you. Because it's in Him, in Jesus, that we live, we move, and have our being. Our existence is in Christ, and Christ in us. So Lord, manifest your power through your servant, Pastor Darren, as we minister in word, your word, that the name of Jesus will be lifted up and exalted. And all God's children said,
Amen.
Amen.
All right. I see more light later. Can I have the light up on you? Kelly, can you hear us? Now, I want to let you know, Kelly, I hate speaking in front of people. So, but I'm really proud of her that she wants to come up and to share her testimony. You guys who are part of the body, I know we're missing a lot of people with Thanksgiving weekend and all, but so those of you who don't know or are new to this body, the doctors diagnosed you with macular degeneration, which is an eye disease that's basically, for sure, they said you're definitely going to be blind completely in the next few years. It's going to slowly just fade out into nothingness. And so that was a big, heavy thing on your heart, and you asked us all to pray. Would you just, what kind of went through your mind when you told that? Could you give us the testimony?
I mean, when you're first found out about it, of course, you know, your first initial thing is to freak out. You know, like, I could go blind, you know, that's a huge and scary thing. But going through it, the Lord just really just helped me to be at peace with it, that whatever happens to me, whether I go blind or not, that He will always take care of me, provide for me, no matter what. And I just come here and want to tell you that I went back to the eye doctor. He took another total exam, the inside of the eye, and he said they can't explain it, but he said it's all gone. Abundantly more than we ever asked for.
Amen.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Good one.
And
a new view.
So anyway, just wanted to share that testimony. We're also going to take a minute, and we want to pray for three people. One is, if you guys remember Jim giving that awesome word about this body, he was in the hospital in Manatee Memorial with some heart problems. We just want to pray for him. I think he's back at home now, recuperating, but we just want to pray for him. And so I want to lift him up. Also, for those of you who remember from a couple weeks ago, from the baptism, Miss Minnie Lee came up here and sang with her son who was getting baptized. She's back up, was it Tennessee?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she had a stroke, brain cut, and so she had a massive stroke. And so we're just going to pray for her. And what a beautiful thing that not only did she sing here with her son to see her son dedicated his life to the Lord, you know, but also even just at the beach, worshiping the Lord together. It's a beautiful thing. So we just want to pray for her. And also, for those of you who don't know Linda, Linda always sat here. So she has moved up north recently. She's been such a blessing to this body in so many ways. You don't see it, but she would be vacuuming the floors. She'd be wiping down the chairs off. Just tons of stuff that you never see. Cleaning toilets, whatever. She would just serve everybody in that way. And she moved up north to be with her sister. And I talked to her. This has been some months now. And I talked to her, and she asked that the body would pray for her. And she said she hasn't found a church yet. And she said, I told her, she's like, I just want it to be like our church. I said, honey, it's not going to be just like our church, and that's okay. And so she went to a good Bible teaching, verse-by-verse Bible teaching church, and she said the teaching was good, but the people there were just so cold and religious and unloving. I just couldn't stand it. It broke my heart. And then I went to this church, and I went to this church, and then I went to a nice Pentecostal church where everybody was loving, and then I asked them if they teach the Bible, and they said, we don't do that. Well, do you do that at Bible studies? Do you go verse by verse? No, we don't do that. We don't do that at all. She's like, you know, if you know Linda, she's just like, well, how are you going to know the word? But they were. So she was. She said I was. She said that I was in tears. She said I was almost in tears. She's like, people there in Florida, they don't even know what they have. And I thought to myself two things. It'd be nice people to say that while they were here. So I just told her yes, we would all pray. And
she didn't find a Bible study in her building.
Yes, she found a little Bible study in her building, yes. So we're just going to take a minute and also just pray for her. And she just asked that we would all do that for her. And so, Father God, first we want to lift up Jim, and we pray for a complete recovery. We thank you for him just being with us. What a blessing, Lord. He was even just sharing last week. And so we also ask in Jesus' name for Minnie, Lord God. We thank you that you have allowed her to stay long enough too here with us to see her son rededicate his life to the Lord, to see her grandsons get baptized. And it's just what you're doing in the family's life. We ask that that would continue. But we also ask for a healing for Minnie, Lord God. And Lord, just as Stanley was saying, either way, Lord, if you keep her here or if she goes to be with you, she's going to be with the Lord. And so, but we ask for that healing, Lord God. And then we pray for Linda, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that of all the nice, wonderful things she said about this body and this church, Lord. And I ask that you would find her, if it's your will, you would find her a nice body, a nice church that she can at least plug into, Lord, and be comfortable with and get good teaching from, Lord God. And so I just pray that. We pray that together. We ask your blessing on this evening. Excuse me, on this evening, on this morning. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, and I did think of one more quick thing, and I see a couple hands up, so I'll call on all those hands in just a second. But one more thing I did think of as she was saying all these wonderful compliments on the teaching and stuff, I thought, oh Lord, you're going to humble me on Sunday and the teaching's going to tank. So, Lord, I pray that doesn't happen in Jesus' name. Okay, hands raised.
On our thing with what you've been saying,
yes, ma'am.
We started a couple months ago doing name tags because there were a lot of people that we don't know their names.
Yes.
And it seems to have faded off.
Yes.
There are those who always get pronounced.
Sinners.
And there are a lot of people.
Sinners.
Do people want them? Yes. Or do they not want
you know, it's probably a good idea, but you're right. I think we just did get out of the habit, so I think if we do that a bit more, I think it's a great idea.
Because there are amazingly a lot of people that I know them by face.
Yes.
But when you mention a name, I don't have any of them smart.
Yeah.
I don't have a clue
yes.
who they are.
Well, Mark's older, so but yes, you know what? And we just need a reminder. People, we all need reminders. That's why the Bible gives us continual reminders, because we've got great forgetteries up here. So yes, I think that would be
we'll
a great idea.
We'll go ahead and get them back out here next week.
That'd be wonderful. Thank you, George.
Yeah, just back to relating to Linda. I spoke to her a few days ago, and she, you know, she's not very technically minded, and she wanted to know how to take and get to the website and how to do the audio, so I explained that to her on the phone. So she just wanted me to let you guys know that even though she's not here physically, she's here spiritually, and she will be listening to us every week.
Oh, good for her.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Okay. Hands. Well, what is it with you guys today? What? Go ahead.
As we were praying, I felt moved that to pray for Heidi's lungs.
Okay.
I know that when a couple of months ago, that the doctor gave a bad report from Debbie about her lungs, and we prayed that the Lord would do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we would ask or even think.
Yes.
And he told me to take whatever it was that the doctor saw, to encapsulate it and shrink it into nothingness. And when we went to the doctor to have him read the report that our doctor didn't like, he said, I don't even know what we're looking for. Because there ain't nothing here.
Yeah.
So, I know Heidi has had a lot of trouble with her lungs.
Why don't we stop? Would you mind just leading us right now?
Do this.
Would you just pray? I know
it's Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we come. And you're the creator of the heavens and the earth. You're the creator of eyes and lungs and hearts and anything that needs healing. Lord, just pray for Heidi's lungs. She has had such great difficulty for many years in her breathing, and it's affected her overall health. And I just want to pray, Lord, that you would strengthen Joel in his loving kindness and service to his wife.
Yes.
But also, Lord, just give her new lungs. So that all of this stuff can be gone. In Jesus, that name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Yes.
And Lord, we just thank you in advance for your healing. For Debbie, and for height, we just thank you that you are God and there is no God but you. Amen.
I saw a couple other hands up. Time.
I'd like to pray for Joe. He's taking my dad to church this morning.
Wow.
My dad got saved at that church a little over a year ago. And I can see him moving on Joe now.
You want to lead us in that?
No. No, I didn't.
All right, we will pray for that. Uncle Tom, did you have something?
No.
Okay, anybody else? Yes?
Yes, yeah, so my son's very best friend got into a motorcycle accident head-on, and he's like 23, 24 years old. He's lost his arm, really bad things on his leg, but he was what they call internally decapitated.
Oh my God.
They have fixed that, and praise God that the young man, actually, he can count. He's playing that little game where you put the little things in there. But I just, if you would just throw a word in there for him, they're going to be sending him home, and they told him he would be in the hospital for a year. He's been in the hospital 3 months, and they're going to send him home next month. So I just pray that God continues to give him the strength and his family the strength to be healed and come back to where he needs to be.
Okay.
His name is David.
Pray for David. Okay. And Joel was taking your dad to church today.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll stop it here. Lord, that's an amazing thing, Lord. So first we just want to say thank you, Lord. It's a time of thanksgiving. And so we say thank you for salvation. Thank you for making all things new, for making us born again, for those who've chosen to put their faith and trust and believe in you. Lord, we just pray, thank you for Joel right now, Lord, that's doing this and bringing him to church, Lord God. And just pray that you would speak to him and move in his heart and encourage his mind and his life, Lord God, that you just do a supernatural work and give him understanding, Lord. And I thank you for Joel. We pray for David, Lord, and we just ask that you do a healing of his mind physically, Lord God. We know that nothing is impossible for you, but we ask in Jesus' name that you would somehow, through a nurse or through maybe through Ronnie or somebody, you would bring your word, your Holy Spirit, to do a renewing in his life and his mind spiritually too, Lord God. So we ask for that spiritual renewal for him along with that physical renewal. And we pray for that healing this time, because Jesus is enough. We ask for this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And I had something else planned, but and I seem to be a little loud. I don't know if the speaker's turned up a little too high or something, but George, will you please hit that video, and somebody, Grandma, would you please, or Uncle Tom, would you hit those lights back there? And we're going to do a little movie. Now, I was going to show this movie about four times now over the last month and a half, and it hasn't happened. So we're going to watch it today. Jesus is enough. That's what we're talking about in Colossians. So.
We see the story of Jesus going to the cross, and everything seems to kind of be hand in hand. And then there's this one character that seems to interrupt the narrative. His name's Barabbas. We don't even know much about him except that he's a murderer, a leader of an insurrection, a rebel. And why he's even mentioned, sometimes I'm not so sure. It's like, what? This is about Jesus going to the cross. So in this moment, Pilate thinks, I hold the destinies of these two men in my hand. I know the Jews have a tradition that on a holy day, I will release one of the prisoners on death row. Pilate stands on this audacious stage, who now presents Jesus, Son of the Living God, versus Barabbas, the thug and rebel. He says, all right, who do you want? This is blasphemy. This has gone too far. There's no comparison. This is a rightful prisoner, a man who should be on death row. He's a rebel against Rome. He leads a rebellion. He murders people. He's a bad man. He's a thug, and he's a crook. He deserves the chains, and he deserves the crucifixion. Jesus, what has he done but heal, restore, deliver, set free, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, heal the lame and the leper? What has Jesus done? Who do you want? Who do you want Barabbas? Yeah. Give us Barabbas. Oh. listen to gospel. Are you bound? Are you held under the power of this temptation, this sin, like it's controlling you? What are you going to do? I'm going to shake myself free. Stop it! No, you won't! You're no match for the powers of hell and the urges of sin. You will not overcome it, and you will never overcome it. You'll just be another statistic. There's no answer within yourself. Your own marriage, your own goodness, your own discipline, your own devotion will not save your marriage and will not save your kids. There's only one. And he's the one that took your place. He's the one that stood silently on the platform with Pilate and said, yes, I'm out of Barabbas. Take me. How many times have I stood on that platform with Pilate and Jesus, and I'm the Barabbas, and they started to take my chains off.
Studies. We have Panera Bread back there. I'm going to skip all the announcements and go right into the Bible teaching. Because God can change things whenever He wants. So just so that you guys know, on Wednesday, we have youth group. On Thursday, it's our fifth Thursday for barbecue and Bible study, so we won't be having any food, but we will be having a time of prayer. I think God has given Gary some things to share specifically. on that, and so want to invite you to come out to that. And again, I'm just going to fast forward through all this. So if you can give me just a second here while I do that. If there's anything else, and there's a lot of stuff, so make sure you take some Panera Bread so you can scroll through all this. You'll have to wait till next week. I know. Great. Baptism pictures in there, too. All right. So we are in the book of Colossians. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jojo and Hezekiah, if you grab a couple of Bibles. I don't know where they are, but the early ones. Okay, so in chapter 2, basically chapter 1 and chapter 2, we ended up talking about, the doctrine. We were declaring the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And now, as we're entering chapter 3 and 4, we're going to get, it's good to have the right doctrine, but how do we demonstrate that in our lives? Or it's good to have the right position in Christ, to know where we stand in Christ, but how does that apply in our lives practically? How do we live out this new life? We had people getting baptized. I just think of Jason and Stan that were getting baptized, Lord. And what a beautiful thing. And he said, you've been buried with him in baptism. You were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God. Because Christ is enough. That's what chapter 2 was about. And so we talked about how that God can turn any mess into a message like us. That's what he does. He does it supernaturally, not by cleaning ourselves up from the outside in, is what we always try to do. That's what religion is. He cleans us up supernaturally from the inside out. That's what being born again is. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And he forgives all our sins. We talked about being washed with the blood of Jesus Christ shed for us on the cross. That it takes care of everything, blotted out completely. That we have in him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, past, present, and future, according to the riches of his grace. That we triumphed over the enemy by doing that. And that it's not about food, what religious day, what we eat, what we wear, what religious days we hold to, what we eat, what we drink. It's not about those things. Those were a shadow of things to come. But the reality is found in Christ Jesus. His sacrifice was once and for all, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so now, that if you're born again, this chapter 3 is for you. Or, since you're born again, you've given your life to Jesus, this is for you. If you haven't, this really doesn't apply to you. Because you can't live the life of Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit, without Jesus living in you. That relationship is severed. That's why you must receive him as Lord and Savior. You must do that first. Become born again to even see the kingdom of God, let alone to live this life, right?
Right.
If you try to live it without the Holy Spirit, without being born again, holy schmolies, you're going to be one of the most miserable people on the planet because you feel like you'll never do it. But through Christ, we can do all things through him living in us. We have to remember, it's going to start off in Colossians chapter 3 by telling us that we need to keep our eyes upward. A lot of times in our Christian walk, we're looking everywhere but up. But our altitude, as we're looking, controls our attitude. You know what I'm saying? Like, the more we're looking up towards the Lord, the more we're forgetting the things of this earth become strangely dim. But too often, we're looking backwards, right? We're looking at all the mistakes we're making. Or we're looking down, it's kind of self-loathing. Or we're looking forward, we want to do this in our lives. Or we're looking around, kind of like, the horizontal plane, right? My job, my relationship, my other life, this, blah, blah, blah. We're looking at all these things, right? Instead of looking upward. And we're missing it. Because the more we look upward, the more we're going to live outward. A life that people are going to see and notice and change. Life. Could somebody, I don't know where the mic is, but I need somebody to read the first four verses, and whoever has the...
Joe's
mic,
got it.
Okay. Would somebody raise their hand and read the first, let's just say four verses, okay, of Colossians. Well, I turn there myself, and then I want to read something to you. We've got to remember that this isn't our home. So first four verses of Colossians chapter 3 would be fantastic.
Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory.
You know, one thing we have to be constantly reminded of, and I don't know if it's you, but here, I'll just say for me, okay, this is not your home. If you're a Christian, if you're a born-again believer, this isn't your home, right? I mean, this is your home church, right? You live in a home, well, most of you, right? But it's not really your home. Your home is up in heaven. If you're a born-again Christian, you're a stranger, the Bible says here. You're going to be misunderstood all the time. You're not going to be thinking the same way that people in the world think. You're not going to be doing things the way the world does them. It's foreign to them. You're like an alien. Not like, you know. You know, was that my favorite Martian? Not that kind of an alien, but, you know, an alien to this world, this country. You're a stranger here. This is not your home, right? You're not supposed to be thinking the same way or doing things the same way. I know we want to fit in, don't we? But more importantly, we want to please our Heavenly Father. I want to let you know this illustration. I looked through about 250 pages. I remember this. The Lord brought it to mind. I'm thinking, I'll never find it. So I literally went through 250 pages to find you this one illustration.
Thank you.
I probably lost my rewards for that. And the point is that there's an illustration here that the Lord wants to have. And this is it. Ray Steadman told this story of an old missionary couple who was working in Africa for many, many years. And they were returning to New York City to finally retire. And, you know, they had given their life to the Lord. They had spent their life loving and teaching the Bible and serving other people. And they had done all these things, and they were going to New York City to retire. They didn't have any pension, and they were kind of broken in their health, and they were discouraged, and they were fearful about their future because now they didn't have anything, and they're coming back after serving the Lord. And they happened to be booked on the same ship that Teddy Roosevelt, who was returning from a big game hunting expedition. And it says they watched the passengers trying to get a glimpse of this great man. They watched the people and the crew just doting over them and fussing over them and making the big deal about, you know, about this man and, you know, and his big game hunting. And at the dock in New York City, when they pulled in, there was even a band that was waiting for them, you know, and to greet the president. And so this big fanfare, this big, you know, bands playing, people cheering, and here are these missionaries. They slipped off the boat, and no one was even there to greet them, and no one even noticed, to be honest with you. That night, as they lie in a cheap flat that they found on the east side, the man's spirit broke. And he said to his wife, just through tears, he said, "I can't take this. God is not treating us fairly." And his wife suggested that he go in the bedroom and tell the Lord personally. A short time later, he came out of the bedroom with his face completely changed. And his wife asked, said, "Dear, what happened in there?" "Well, the Lord settled it with me," he said. "I told him how bitter I was at the president should receive this tremendous homecoming and welcome and recognition and rewards and all this when no one even met us when we returned home. And when I finished, it seemed as though the Lord has put his hand on my shoulder and simply said, 'But you're not home yet.'"
That's good.
When when you start getting that feeling of bitterness, or you know what I'm saying, right? You remember, you're not home yet. The reason you don't like it here, you're not comfortable here, things aren't going well for you here, you're not getting thanked here, you're not getting rewarded enough here, whatever the case, you're not home yet. All that will be there. And the Lord Jesus looks in your eyes and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you. That reward's there for you, kept in heaven for you, secure. Remember, this is not for you. So don't get too comfortable here. Keep your eyes set on things above, not on earthly things. Verse 1. Verse 1 says this. Some of your translations will say, since then you have been raised with Christ. Some say, if then, and they make a big deal out of it. Who cares? The bottom line is, if you've been born again, if you've been raised to new life with Jesus Christ, then this is for you. Or, if you already have, since you have, this is for you. Either way, if you're a believer, since you're a believer, it's for you. It says, since you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. In other words, with the power of majesty, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Set your hearts on things above. What does that mean, to set your heart on things above? What do you think that means? What does that mean? Right.
Just commit things, looking to heaven.
Okay, looking to heaven. So I should just walk around and I'll...
Well,
just looking up to heaven.
Spiritually.
What is that? Spiritually speaking. What does that mean, though? What?
Our time of friendship and being with people and feeling love will come to us when we get home.
And will come with us when we get home. Right. But if he's telling us to set our hearts on things above, what else do you think that means? Yes?
Well, I think we always have our hearts set on something. You know what I mean? There's no way to go even about your day without having your heart set on something. You know, it's just our nature to wake up and we're looking forward to things or doing things, and that all revolves around our thoughts and our mind and our heart. And to set our hearts on something, it's like purposeful. We have to really, really think about it and change it out. You know, because naturally we're going to think about the selfish things and set our hearts on the things that our flesh wants, so we have to like trade it out.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I think that's excellent. You know, the Bible puts it this way. You know, what's your heart set on? Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, 21 says, "Do not," this is the words of Jesus, "don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart is going to be there also." So where is your treasure? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, the Bible says, where your treasure is, there your heart's going to be also. You know, what do you treasure? Is it the things, is it Jesus? Or is it something else? What do you really treasure? What's most important? He's saying, I want you to invest in those things in the kingdom. Your relationships that you have, the work that you do, the job that you have, the school that you go to, all these things, the wife, the husband, the kids, I want you to make an investment in them for heaven, in heavenly things. I want you to seek after them. I want you to desire them, to pursue them, to be purposeful in them. Some of your translations say, set your hearts on things above. Some other ones say, I want you to seek those things above. And that's okay too. It's the same word as is in Matthew chapter 6, 33. The word in Greek for set your heart on things above, or to seek those things above, is the word zeteo. And that means to pursue. So Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first. There's that word, seek. Set first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You put God first in your life, and everything else will go into order. The problem is we don't want to do that. Because we can be sometimes selfish, self-centered. Right? Yes, Gloria.
I think it's so much of what we value. And me saying that, what we value, we need to value what God values. Of course, we have to know what God values in order for that to happen.
Yes.
So we need to be looking to God to see what he values. But what he values is what's going to go to heaven with us.
Yes.
Not our cars or our jobs or our ministries are not going to go to heaven with us.
Yes.
The relationships that we have here is what, and the things that we do to please God, those are the things that will carry on up into heaven with us.
Those are what's valued.
They're the valuable things that God values.
Does that make sense, you guys? So he's saying, I want you to set your hearts on those things that are above and not on earthly things. And then it says, you know, because since you've been risen with Christ, it says that in verse 1 there. You've been raised with Christ. If you've been born again, then stop focusing on the stuff around you and focus on what God is trying to save you. Listen, you know, if you've been raised with Christ, because we were raised with Christ, we should act the same way Jesus did after he was resurrected. Here's a couple things to think about. Dave Guzik reminded me of this, but after his resurrection, Jesus left the tomb and the dead things. You remember, they took him off the grave clothes. You know what I'm saying? All that old, not that we should take off our clothes when we're born again, but we take off the spiritual, stinky, dead clothes, the dead things, right? Our sin, our old sin nature, ourselves. Take it off, throw it away like you would dirty clothes. In our household now, we've got boys and girls in our household, so this is kind of, should I save it for later? I'm going to put it right now. So, you know, for example, my youngest son, boys and girls are very, very much differently, obviously you know this, but, you know, my son, Ezekiel, will come down and I'd be like, Ezekiel, son, you're supposed to get dressed. I am dressed, Dad. Okay, son, that's the same shirt you had on.
Oh,
no. Son, it's the same shirt you've had on and pants for the last 3 days. No, Dad. Son, look at the shirt. I can see the stains. This is the turkey. This is the gravy. Here's the tea spilled on it. You know what I'm saying? He's saying, I want you to take off those dirty clothes and put on something new. Now, the girls, on the other hand, we had Skylar, we had Sophia over and for a little play date, right? And so, I would talk to the girls here, and I'd see them, and then I would see them over here, and they'd talk to me again, okay? And then a little bit later, they'd talk to me again, and about the fifth time, I said, wait a minute. I said, that's not what you were wearing last time. And in fact, over by the door, you were wearing, and then I go back, I said, each time, you had a different outfit on. yeah, that's what I knew. I was showing you. I mean, they're only there for like 3 hours. They've had 5 outfits on. But if you've been raised with Christ, you know, put away those dead things. You know, he left the tomb. He left that life, right? He left those dead things there. He took them off. So should we. We don't live there anymore. Don't go to those same places you used to go to. Don't watch those same things. Don't participate. Let's take those things off. After his resurrection, Jesus spent his remaining time being with the ministering disciples, and so should we. We should be living our lives with one another and serving one another. That's the whole point of you being here. A wonderful family gave us shepherd's pie twice. A big thing of it, which we needed desperately. You know, just somebody serving in the body. We didn't ask for food. They just said, we want to bless you. We want to help you. Now, I would never have asked. But the fact that they just did it, I was like, thank you, Lord. Even my wife was even more like, oh, thank you. I'd just be content to give Cheerios for 10 days. But anyway. But we should be living to serve one another. Seriously. And after his resurrection, Jesus lived in the supernatural power and ability to do impossible things. And the Lord spoke this one to me this morning. so should we, with the power and enabling of the Holy Spirit living in us. Can someone look up John 14:21 for us? If you all want to turn there, that would even be better. If you don't have that underlined in your Bible, you should. John 14:21. Oh, gosh, I hope that's the right verse. Now I'm thinking it's not.
He
who
has my commandments?
Nope.
Verse
20.
What does it say? And in that day you will know that I am in the Father.
Nope. Okay, so let me just tell you what it was. I'll write this verse down. Basically what it says, I'll define it for you. Basically it says, Jesus is saying, like when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to be able to do, it says, greater things than what I've been doing. Now, when I think of Jesus lived in a perfectly, he healed people, he blessed people, he changed people, he preached the word, he spoke, lives were changed, and he's telling me, when he sends the Holy Spirit to me, I'm going to be able to do greater things than that.
That's verse 12.
Verse 12!
But truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father.
Yes, greater works. That's that supernatural. What scares me is, I don't want you to be content. Oh, I want you to be content in Jesus, right? You know what I'm saying? But I want you to understand, I'm afraid that you don't understand the power that you have available to you in the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking, power to lead somebody out, but that could be it. That could be a healing. God could use you to heal somebody or to give a prophetic word or a word of knowledge to somebody. He might give you a gift of language. He might give you, who knows what he could give you? An angelic language. Who knows what the Lord can do? Right? He could give you the power to speak a word into someone's life to change it forever. He could give you, he can do all these things. He wants to speak and communicate with you daily. That's the kind of relationship he wants, where there's no sin blocking it. Because, you know, the more sin we got blocking it, the more we're like, yes, I'm on Jesus, we're supposed to live for him, read the Bible, got it. My goodness, if that's your relationship with Jesus, it's like, it's a life-giving relationship. Ask for the Lord to show you himself and his power more, that you would walk in that kind of power and relationship. Ask for whatever gift he wants to give you and to show you how to use it. Mark, you've spoken too much to me.
Think about something else.
In John 11.
Yes.
He tells us exactly the same thing that you're talking about right here. And this is when Lazarus is in the tomb, we are dead. Okay? And he said these things, and he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! But there's another instruction after that.
Take off the grave clothes.
Take off the grave clothes. Loose them and let them go. That's exactly what you're talking about.
And then after the resurrection, Jesus looked forward to heaven, knowing that he would soon enough ascend there. And that's what we should be doing, realizing this is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's how our hearts, you know. And honestly, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Colossians 3, chapter 2 says this. He goes on to say, Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says this. Set your minds, this is a little bit different word here, it's phroneo in Greek, but set your minds on things above. So set your hearts on things above, and now set your minds on things above, right? Not on earthly things. So imagine this. I have somewhere here. I got this for me. Since you can't see this little thing in my hand, I'm going to put this up here. Everybody knows what that is, right? A compass, right? Everybody knows what a compass is? They may not know what a compass is. Okay. What a compass does
Okay. If you don't know, if you're not familiar, a compass will tell you, you know, it always points north. It's set on that position. So the neat thing about a compass is it gives you direction. I know where north is. I can be walking this way, and it still tells me that you're going the wrong way. North is. I could be going this way. I could be doing a tap dance. I could be working. I could be in school. I could be talking to my kids. I could be, you know, in an argument with my wife. And the compass is giving me direction. What this is saying is, and what God is saying, is I want you to set your mind, fix it like a compass, on things above. Just like Auntie Gloria was saying, we need to know what that is to fill our hearts and our minds with this word, right? So that it says, so that way if I'm in a fight with my wife, and I'm pretty feeling self-righteous, I don't need to forgive her. The Lord was saying, hey, your mind's a little bit off there, and what? Yeah, you're set the wrong direction. Right? Well, that's true, I guess. That means if I'm at work and or at school and they're telling me this, that, and the other, and I'm like, wow, that's so intellectual, and I guess God isn't right. God's saying, they're going off course, they're going the wrong way. He wants you to set your mind, fix it like the compass, so you know what direction you're going, no matter where you are at, what direction you're heading, what you're doing. Your mind is set on what does God want, what does His Word say? Because the Bible says this, folks, and I know you guys know this, but we're going to hear it anyway. The world is giving you certain things to think about, right? And so we have to ask ourselves, you know, what is our mind set on? You know, is it set on worldly things? Right? Hey, what am I going to... Relationships, right? Jobs. Those things aren't bad, are they? Right? We all have to eke out a living, don't we? But what is our mind really set on? What's the compass? What's our heart desire? Because listen, I listened to a teenager some weeks ago talk about a friend of theirs. And man, they're like, I love this person, but all they talk about is this other person, this relation. That's their mind is set on them. That's all they talk about. It's like, I don't know how to tell them. I mean, it's like, stop. God has so much more for you. Can't we do that if we're going off course? Think about what you're setting your mind on. Some folks, hey, you know, he's all about work, right? He knows the value of a dollar, right? Some people's minds are set on sports. Oh, he's the sports guy, right? He's the shooter guy, right? He's the hunter, right? He's the gun guy. He's the golf guy or gal, whatever. She's focused on her family. She's focused on her husband. But those aren't bad things, right? But when your mind is set there, instead of the Lord first, you're off kilter, right? And the Lord wants to bring you back to point, saying, set your mind on things above, on what I have to say. Then you'll have the right relationship with your husband. You'll have the right relationship with your family. You'll have the right relationship with a girl or a guy. You'll have the right relationship in your school or your work or whatever. Does that make sense? The Bible says this, it's important. Proverbs chapter 4, a different translation says, be very careful about what you think, because your thoughts run your life. And you guys know this one from a few weeks ago. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind with God's word. That's what he's talking about. Tom, you were raising your hand, sir.
Yeah, when I think about a magnet, I think of the magnetic pull that pulls to the north. But if you put something else in there, metallic, another magnet, it will pull you off course. And there are things that will pull us from being true.
Ooh. How about that for a compass smackdown? That's a good word, though, isn't it?
True.
Isn't that thing? And that, is there something in your life? Think about this. Teenagers, is there something that's pulling you away from the Lord? Is there someone? Is there some job? You know, this is one thing I've seen in this church. I don't know what it is. Relationships and work. Listen, I'm thankful. Look, we all need work, right? And I'm thankful when people get jobs. But honestly, I've watched this happen, I would say almost 80, 90% of the time. Somebody's growing in the Lord. They're excited. God's obviously doing miracle works in their hearts and their minds and their lives. And they just need a job. Pray that I get a job. We get a job. I can't come to church anymore. What? I got to work Sundays. I got to work Thursday evenings. I can't go to the Bible studies. I can't go to the... Wait, no, that's not a good idea. Oh, God, no, God got me the job. The little magnetic pull. God's saying, no, the job is... Don't let it detour your focus. You know what I'm saying? And then they fade away sooner or later. You don't even realize it. You're going so off course that you don't even see it. Yes?
Well, I was just going to say, I remember when we were early married, Mark made a statement, and it really threw me at the time. I since understand it, but he said, in my life, God comes first, you're second. Mm-hmm. And then he gets it so on. Mm-hmm. The way it has to be.
Yes. Now, if you don't know Jesus, you're thinking, wait a minute, I come first. You're going to hate that. You're going to rebel against it. You're going to resent it. But if you're in Christ, you know, I am, hopefully I'll get the right answer, but say it was true. Because he loves Jesus, is he loving you the way he's supposed to love?
Absolutely.
Now, if he didn't know the Lord and love the Lord, let me tell you, he'd be a jerk.
Sometimes I still am.
Amen, brother. No. But when you give into the fleshly nature, we all can be. Isn't it true? So what are you going to give to? What are you going to set your mind on? What are you going to set your hearts on?
You know, sometimes we're praying for a job. We're praying for God to do a work in our life. We have real needs.
Yes.
We have to pay bills.
Absolutely.
I mean, these are real needs.
I don't want to... Yeah.
And then a job comes along. And that job is going to take us off. The schedule that the job has doesn't correspond with my spiritual life now, like you were saying.
Yes.
What do we do about that? How do we handle that when somebody has been praying for a job and a job comes along and now the job says you've got to work on Sunday or you've got to work Thursday night? You can't come to Bible study here. What do you do about that?
Well, you're going to answer the question. No,
I'm not. I'm asking you.
Well, you know, to be blunt honest, you know, first, if you're asking me what I do at this stage in my life, I would probably go back to the Lord to make sure this is really from Him. And now here's what everybody thinks. Well, I prayed for that, so... Listen, the enemy wants to move you away from the Lord. That's the main thing. So my main thing is to grow in the Lord. Yeah, so anything that separates me from that... I don't want to do. Oh, I'm saved. God's growing me. I'm going to move to Kalamazoo, Michigan. Wait, no. God's doing a fantastic thing. Okay, you know. See? So I would just say, well, what's my most important thing? My heart's desire. My heart's set on the Lord. My mind is set on the Lord. So he's my first thing. So is this going to move me closer to him? Or is it going to move me away from him? And if it's moving me away from him, then I'm going to have to trust that's not the right job for me. Now,
I find that you're tested a lot of times in that way. That God will put a test in your life.
Yes.
You're praying for something and he'll let this job come your way. And you're going to be tested. Now, the thing is that he wants you to seek first the kingdom of God.
Yes.
But if you don't do that, and you say, but I need a job.
Yes. Where are you focused? Where's your mindset?
That's the test right there. You're going to be tested.
Yes.
So the thing is that if when you obey God and you say, no, I'm not doing that, God has something so much better for you.
Yes.
When you pass the test,
yes,
God will reward you with something so much better.
Yes.
But the problem is we fail when we start to think that what we got immediately right here is the answer, what God wants us to do. I can't go to church. After all, God gave me this job.
Yes.
The truth is that he may be testing you. Yes. What is more important in your life?
Or the enemy may be tripping you. Yes, Elijah.
And even though it might be a test, you know, the best thing to do is probably trust the Lord on it. And
yes.
If you, you know, like, leave your job and stuff like that, just the Lord. And
yes.
Don't let the job, you know,
rule your life. Yes.
Exactly.
Now that's a lot easier said than done, right?
Yes.
Let's just be honest. We all say that until crunch time happens. Then it's like, but you don't understand. This is what I hear all day. You don't understand. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, I don't know. I think you don't understand. I know what you're saying, but you don't understand. This is more important. It really is. But again, now could the Lord tell you to have that job anyway? Yes, but everybody thinks. Anyway, okay, I'll get out of the job. I'm beating that damn horse to death. Okay, so only having. Okay, so we're at two verses. That might be. All right, so I'm only going to do a couple more verses now, even though I've got a ton here, so I'm going to try to think you got. Maybe I'm not. Anyway, let's go on. It says this in the next verse. It reminds them of things above, not on earthly things. In verse 3 it says, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You died, that old sin nature. You died to the... You told Jesus you want to die to the world. You can't take it back in. You can't have it both ways, right? I want to die to this world, but I still want to rip people off. I want to die to this world, but I still want to sleep with other women. You know what I'm saying? I want to die to this world, but I still want to use foul language. I still want to, you know. You can't have it. You're saying you want to die to this world. I want to live for you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. You can't live the same way. It says this. It says in verse 3, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Now, when I read that first, it sounds like you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And so you just need to be tucked away all safe and sound with God and all those mean, nasty people. You just leave them alone. You're like a little puppy. But that's not really what that means. When it says your life is hidden in God, what it's saying, what that word is in Greek, it's talking about that in our lives, your life, my life, if we're born again, is securely, is safely put away, almost like a safe deposit box. I don't know if you've ever had one of those, but it's like a metal thing that goes in, it's in a vault, right? You can go in there, it's protected, right? From thieves, from people who would want to rob and steal and kill you for it. All your treasures go in that safety deposit box in that bank vault, right? With a big door, you know. So it's saying your life is securely held by Jesus in that safety deposit box, in that bank vault. It's hidden in God, right in there, safe, secure, sound. You don't have to worry about a thing. That's why Paul says, hey, what can man do to me? Right? What's the worst he can do? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Death has lost its sting. And in that life hidden in God, picture that little safety deposit box in that vault, right? It comes with all the rights and privileges and the treasures that are in that box. In other words, if you have a safety deposit box, you got something hidden away, protected in there from thieves and robbers, you can go in there. Right? Can't you? You just go in there, hey, I'm so-and-so. Oh, here's your safety deposit box. Go in there. And you can get all the blessings and the treasures. All those treasures in Christ are for you. But it's kept secure. And no one can snatch it out of your Father's hand. Right? He's kept it for you. From now and into eternity. No one will be able to take those blessings, those promises away from you. Make sense?
Okay, I'm going to have to stop.
Let me just leave it this last verse, okay? I really wanted to get through a lot more. It says in verse 4, I'll just stop here. Oh, I saw my next verse. Okay, but I'll stop at 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. listen, there's going to come a day, you know, when Christ is coming back again. And but it says, when Christ, who is your life, appears. And that's one thing that you have to ask yourself, you know. What is your life about? You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's good to have hobbies. It's good to play sports. It's good to, you know, but if you knew the Lord was coming in 30 days, what would you change in your life? Now, he could come tomorrow. He'd come tonight. Are you living with that expectancy? See, as time goes on, we can kind of get a little lazy. I'm not saying you. I'm just saying maybe me. You know, what am I looking forward to? What would I, you know what I'd probably do, just to share something, a little personal thing? I'd probably spend a little less time on Netflix. I'm not saying I'm watching, you know, whatever. But yes, my son says watching Arrow. Yes, okay. Whatever, The Flash. You know, I'd probably spend a little less time doing that. And maybe more time presenting the gospel. Or, if I'm being honest, right? What would be different in your life? Would you pour that, you know, vodka bottle out that you have hidden in the cabinet under the bathroom sink? Would you pour it out? Would you maybe take a sledgehammer to the computer that you've been watching pornography on, or that cell phone? Would you go ask forgiveness for your kids for being a jerk of a dad? Or a mom that's let her emotions cause her to say all sorts of stuff? Would you maybe spend more time with people, investing in them and helping them, show them that you love them in the Lord, tell them the Lord would love them? Would you spend more time serving? There's so much more we would like to do at this church and the school. We would love to see another portable back there. We could fill it with kids tomorrow. We have more families that want to come and be a part of Shepherd's Star Christian School and this ministry. We just can't do it. We don't have room. We need finances. Listen, this is not a manipulation thing. Give it the Lord, but I'm just saying, what would you do with your finances? What would you do with your time? What would be different in your life, Mr. Man? What would be different? It says, when Christ, who is your life, and this is a question that we all have to ask, if I can be so bold. Is Christ really your life? Now listen, you like to talk to me? I like to talk about movies, okay? I love movies. Okay, I do. Watch the new Justice League. Great, love it. Anyway, sorry, I digress. But if you really talk to me, you know what we're going to talk about? You know what, you're going to get me all jazzed up? You think this is no F. This is me. When we talk about the Lord, oh, I just get excited about it. I love it. We're going to do stuff for the Lord. You say, hey, the Lord's put this on my heart, a little Bible study. I want to disciple somebody. Oh, that's awesome. You know, I want to grow deep in my relationship with the Lord. I will move schedules. What can I do to help you? Not because I'm the pastor. You should do that if you're a born-again Christian. What can I do? How can I help? How can I serve? Right? Is Christ really your life? Think about it. Or is it the relationship? Or is it the job? Or is it the whatever? The hobby? Let's let Christ fix our minds, set our hearts on things above. Let's seek the Lord. Set our minds, our thinking, on heavenly things, not on earthly things, right? Let's make sure, Lord, that our life is Christ. When it comes right down to it, yeah, we got to eat the living, yeah, we got to do the job. I'm not saying, you know, that we all, you know, quit everything and you know. But what I am saying is, when you come right down to it, is Christ really your life? People, and if you don't know, ask your friends. Ask somebody you really trust that's not going to tell you just what you want to hear, but who's going to tell you the truth. Is Christ really, am I all about the Lord? Yes, you talk about it all the time. I'm not a believer yet, but he won't shut up about it. I'm listening to you. You know what I mean? Is it? And if not, let's pray and ask him right now to make our hearts right. He doesn't hate you. He's not mad at you. He's just kind of giving you a little wake up. Because the enemy's after you. Alright, let's pray. Father God, there's so much more in these next verses that I wanted to get to, but I'm just trusting in you, Lord. So prepare our hearts to hear your word for next week. But this week, right now, Lord, will you just help direct our hearts up to heaven and godly things and heavenly things, not worldly things. Will you set our minds like a compass, Lord? Will you help us to set our minds on those things above, Lord, and what you want, your priorities, your purposes, your things, Lord God, that they will be set. So no matter what we're doing, what we're saying, what we're involved with, it points back to you for us, Lord God. And will you help us to make good use with our time? Will you genuinely be our life and the reason why we're here living for you? That is the reason. But Lord, if it's not, we confess it, and we ask that you would make a change, help us to make a change in our thinking, in our hearts, and then in our actions. We ask that you would wake us up, each one of us, Lord, from a slumber, from a sleeping, from misdirection, from a magnetic pull that's drawing us away from what our minds should be set on, whatever it is, that you would bring us back to you, Jesus, and everything else would pale in comparison. We pray for your blessing on this congregation that's here and the congregation that's not here, Lord God. That you would just do these things supernaturally and prepare our minds for what you have for us in this upcoming week, next Sunday, Lord God. So we can hear what your word has to say about practical application in our Christian lives. We love you and we bless you. We thank you, Lord, that this is not our home. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. God bless you guys. Know that you are loved in Christ Jesus.
Wow. You had a question about that video? Did it all make sense at the end?